This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد The title of our khutbah today is The Nafs, The Shaytan and Discipline And by the nafs we mean yourself, the soul and how it longs for things and how it desires things One of the scholars, he said The nafs is the most intense battleground of any human being. And if you defeat your nafs, you will be victorious over anything else. If you can curb your desires, if you can stop yourself from doing what you want as opposed to simply obeying every lust and desire that you have, if you can be victorious in this battlefield, you can be victorious over anything else. One of the biggest problems the scholars mention is that most people don't realize that your nafs is your enemy, meaning you're constantly fighting against yourself, fighting against your desires. It's commanding you to do things. It's commanding you to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. And your job is to resist. But many people don't realize that their nafs is their enemy. So as a result of that, a number of things happen. One, they blame the shaitan for everything else. Or two, they'll blame evil eye, or they'll blame someone doing some kind of black magic to them or what have you. But when you blame the shaitan, there are a number of things to understand. Number one, the shaitan, he's weak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him as weak. إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا Indeed, the plot of the shaitan is weak. And we know him as الوسواس الخناس الخناس لأنه يخنس يعني he withdraws he's coming whispering then he withdraws and he whispers and he withdraws again why is he always withdrawing because you say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم and you send him away the adhan is sound and he runs to another city you recite Quran he runs away so he's not there constantly he just makes his suggestion his whisper And then he goes away. You notice in Ramadan, you are the same person outside of Ramadan. Your thoughts are not any different. When the shayateen or the marada or the leaders of the shayateen are chained up, do you feel different? Are your thoughts different and purer in Ramadan? Does the crime rate drop in Ramadan? Not really. Because that indicates to you that the shaytan's influence is not that strong. He just makes suggestions, and it's completely up to you to take or to reject. And that's the same argument that he makes on the Day of Judgment. When people try to blame him, he says, إِنَّمَا دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي I just made the invitation and you're the ones who responded. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me, blame yourself. All he did was suggest. He never forced anyone to do anything. He never physically made you do anything. So we see that the influence of the shaitan is not that strong that we're going to blame everything and all our failures on the shaitan. And when that happens, yani if you always blame your sin or your mistake on Iblis or the shaitan, you blame it on evil eye, on someone else, even though it is true, but it's rare, and you blame it on black magic and what have you, if that happens, you cannot progress spiritually. And you're always blaming shaitan. It's never your fault then. Why would I improve and progress spiritually if it's never my fault? Every mistake I make is blamed on something or someone else. But what's interesting is that in the Quran, you never find ever any sin blamed on someone else. Yani someone committing a sin, but it wasn't his mistake or her mistake, it was someone else's mistake. Even when Adam alayhi salam ate from the tree, it was not blamed on the shaitan. And it was not blamed on Hawa. Even though we have a hadith that mentions Hawa gave him, ate first and gave him to eat, she still was not blamed. Because he could have said no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ. Adam disobeyed his Lord. He was not blamed on anyone else. So when you make a mistake, then the best thing is to own up to it and to confess to it, not to try to put the blame somewhere else. And that's why a few Jum'ahs ago we mentioned a dua or a form of istighfar, and this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called it Sayyidul Istighfar, the master of all the du'as of seeking forgiveness. And the scholars mention one of the great things about it, and this is found in Husn al-Muslim and others, where you say, أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي فَاغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. This is the one that starts, اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبد, that one. So the scholars said, أَبُوءُ يعني أعترف. What is so great about the dua is you're admitting, saying, Ya Allah, I'm admitting all the sins I committed. I did them on my own. I'm not blaming them on the shaitan or on circumstances or on other people, but I admit to them. And they said that's what makes the dua so great, that you admit to your mistake. You don't blame it on anything or anyone else. As for jihadun nafs, struggling against yourself, this is something that is ongoing and it will continue for the rest of our lives. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ. Should I not inform you of who the believer is? And then he said, مَنْ أَمِنَهُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. The people, the believer is the one that people can entrust with their wealth and with their own selves. That's the believer. وَالْمُسْلِمُ مَنْ سَلِمَ النَّاسُ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. And the Muslim is the one whom people are safe from his tongue and his hand. وَالْمُجَاهِدُ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. And the mujahid is the one who جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ, يعني struggles against himself in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ الْخَطَايَ وَالذُّنُوبِ. And the muhajir, and here it means, the muhajir is the one who immigrates, but it also means the one who abandons something. He's the one who abandons mistakes and abandons sins. It's narrated by Ahmad and al-Tabarani and Ibn Hibban and al-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah and al-Bayhaqi. Imam al-Tirmidhi also has a shorter version, the version that says, al-mujahidu man jahada nafsahu. The mujahid is the one who struggles against himself. So our job is to struggle against our desires and not to obey our desires and not to find an excuse or justify them, which is what happens today in America. Every time someone follows a desire, the desire becomes a lifestyle. The desire becomes Allah created them that way. The desire is what they were born with. It's just a desire. There's no excuse. Struggle against it. That's it. And it doesn't have to be haram. It doesn't have to be haram. And we all know the narration of when Umar radiallahu anhu was in the market and he saw one of the companions there. He said, what are you doing? He said, I desired to eat meat, so I came to purchase some meat. So Umar radiallahu anhu tells him, أَوَكُلَّمَا اشْتَهَيْتَ اشْتَرَيْتَ. So every time you desire something, you go buy it. There's nothing haram. And he didn't argue, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, what's wrong with it? It's permissible, it's from the tayyibat. He didn't, because he understood what Umar radiallahu anhu is saying. He's saying, discipline yourself. It doesn't have to be haram. Even the halal, stop yourself. Not always, every time I desire something. Chips, I have to grab a piece of chip. I have to grab candy. I have to find something to chew on, to eat, to drink. Not always following my desire. I train myself a little bit. And this is the month to do that. And that's what's so great about the month of Ramadan. This is the month to curb back our desires, to control our nafs a little bit. The good news, brothers and sisters, you keep resisting your desires and you will not be a slave to your desires. And you keep resisting the shaitan and something amazing happens. Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he says, if shaitan saw you constantly obeying Allah Azza wa Jal, he will seek you again and again. He will keep trying with you. And if he sees your consistency, meaning your consistency in obeying Allah Azza wa Jal, he loses hope in you and he leaves you. He loses hope in you and he leaves you. And if you don't believe that, think of something simple. Do you think the shaitan used to come to Abu Bakr and say, how about you skip Dhuhr today? No way he would come to him with something that basic and that simple. No way, because he knows there's no chance. So he will try something else. But he won't try something like that. And with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only that, he told him the shaitan is afraid of you. The shaitan is afraid of you. So that's what happens when you're constantly obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for his forgiveness shall truly prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. One of the scholars said, in order to be disciplined in anything, you have to be disciplined in everything. يعني to have discipline in any field, in anything, you have to have the quality of discipline in everything. يعني you have to have that quality in you. And in the books of Tazkiyatul Nafs, the scholars, they comment about overeating. And since we're in the month of Ramadan, and it has a lot to do with eating, and we found it perhaps appropriate to make these comments here. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he says, one of the worst desires a person can have is excess in food, in overeating. He says, this is what got Adam out of paradise in the first place. Sadaq. He said, this is what got Adam out of paradise. Because Adam alayhi salam could eat from Jannah, endless variety. And only one he couldn't eat. So he's saying, this is what happened. This is what got Adam alayhi salam out of Al-Jannah. And this is what stimulates the desire for wealth, and it also stimulates the desire for intimacy. So he's saying the idea of going after your overeating and just indulging in that desire. And we have similarly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, ma mala ibn adam wa'an sharra min batni, that the worst thing you can fill, the worst vessel you can fill, is your stomach. Hasb ibn adam luqaymat, the sufficient for the son of Adam are just a few bites, yuqimna sulba, yani to sustain him, to keep him upright, able to walk, able to stand straight, just a few bites. فَإِنْ كَانَ وَلَا بُدْ, then if you have to, and there is no other way, that's when you leave a third for your food, a third for your drink, a third for your air. This hadith, this third here, that's the maximum. And we mention it like it's the minimum. When we quote the hadith, we mean like this is the minimum. Eat one third and then leave one third for water and one third for food. That's the maximum. The minimum, just a few bites to keep you going. Then if you have to and you must, then a third for your food, your drink, and your air. طيب. So the idea then is to control ourselves when it comes to our desire and to control ourselves when it comes to our food. And not to just, yani, they tell you in the books of taking care of pets and dogs, وكدا, they say never give your food, your dog, very hot food. because it cannot control itself and it will burn itself. It will burn its mouth and keep eating while burning itself. Wallah, it's painful to say there are people who act like that now. The food is red hot and they're burning their hands and they're burning their tongue and they're breathing and they're constantly and still going for the next one and the third and the next. Where is the self-control? Where is the difference between the human being and the animal? They had a commercial for some contraption. You go to the dentist, he puts it in your mouth, so you eat less. And this is what it comes down to now. The human being cannot control himself to the point that they have to put a mechanical device in your mouth, so you eat less. In the month of Ramadan, this is where we train ourselves. This is where we train ourselves. This is where we have discipline. Ibn Qudama, this is in defense of the overweight people in the audience. He said, being overweight doesn't mean that you indulge. And we know that now. Sahih? There are people who just have high metabolism. They don't indulge in overeating. And then he says, and this is for the thin people in the audience, being thin doesn't make you healthy, and it doesn't mean you don't indulge. And there are some people who are thin, but they're always overeating. Allah blessed them with the metabolism. So why are we mentioning this? We're saying it's about the intake and the control. Someone can be skinny, but he eats so much and always overfills and overeats. Still not good. So you fill yourself to the point where you're just able to function and you're satisfied. Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he said, if you eat too much, you sleep too much. And then so you worship little. Every single one of us, in Ramadan, we experienced a day when we had light iftar and we came, and as a result of our light iftar, Taraweeh was light. And we've all experienced a day when we had heavy iftar. And we came to the same length Taraweeh, but it was heavy. The relationship. And there are people who overeat so much in Ramadan that they gain weight in Ramadan. It's one meal, but they gain weight throughout the month. And there are people who overeat so much that they have to put their hand gently in the salah because any pressure can create problems. And there are people who vomited in the middle of Taraweeh because they went down to sujood and their old iftar came out. Overeat, it's a problem, it's an issue. And it's a chance for us to practice discipline in controlling ourselves. We're going to end here, inshallah. But we, inshallah, after the salah, we're going to have a mini and a quick fundraiser. And one of the things we're trying to do is we want to space out the fundraising throughout the month of Ramadan. So we don't just go heavy at the end of the month. Give people an opportunity, maybe people who won't be here with us, don't pray Taraweeh with us. So we're going to do a light fundraiser, and that's why we kept the khutbah light, so that, and you don't have lunch anyways, from that lunchtime. We'll spend a little bit, kida, inshallah, after the salah, inshallah. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فاللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا فاللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وقوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله